Nas at Place Belle on October 2nd. Pre-sale tickets on sale now until Thursday, March 2nd at 10 p.m. Visit Ticketmaster.ca/American Express to purchase tickets and to check for the latest policies on close proximity events. Ticket limits and terms apply. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't live life with...
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
Hey, you. Come over here and listen.
To be inside me. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I'm really gonna come. Oh, God, I'm so fucking wet. Can you see how wet I am? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
It's time for Audio Smith. It's time for Audio Smith. Smith.
A queer, feminist, trans-positive radio show about fucking in all its forms.
Four, five fingers.
Let's not beat around the bush. This show contains explicit sexual content.
So turn the volume all the way up.
Oh, that was so hot. I'm gonna pee for you now. You ready? Yeah, you wanna watch me pee? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pee, yeah.
Homosexual Island was written and produced by Jamie Ross for Audio Smut, his final show with The Collective. Jamie is a visual artist who's been part of the Audio Smut Eros Radio Collective since 2012. Audio Smut is a flagship CKUT production sent through the airwaves once a moon. He leaves The Collective in amazingly talented hands.
There were a lot of shadowy allies who participated in the writing of this piece, and I thank you. You helped make your stories known through the archive, through letters out of paradise. Just like all exercises in writing are blessed by the trickster moon god of ghosts who gifted the symbols to humanity. Because this work, it's about letters. But most of your letters went unwritten. Most were lost, destroyed. destroyed. To tell this story, in most cases, we've had to invite your spirits to help us in this work. I'm proud to present a weird little slice of paradise. An island. A homosexual island. An international homosexual isle.
So much. I need to share something. Yeah. It was one hell of a portal, babe. Yeah. You put the queen to rest. I had never experienced such power. The others had been there for a week before I arrived. I got a call that if I wanted to see him before he passes, that I should come now. And so I took a flight and when I walked into the house, it was clear that I had entered a portal. The ritual was already in place and everyone had their roles. And TT had the schedule down to the very last second. He is such a daddy. I'm so inspired. The time for medication, the time for each meal, anything the queen wanted. The time marked for bathing her, the time for dressing her wounds. I had always bonded with her through the kitchen and with food. There was a connection there. That's how she made an imprint in our community. And so it had become clear what my role was. I walked into the kitchen and I flipped it right side up. You know that I'm that witch. And for a week straight, I was in a trance. People arrived with offerings, often fresh ingredients that they had just picked from their garden. People loved her. They just kept arriving. And so like a potter on his wheel, I took those ingredients and I spun every flavor imaginable. It was amazing, girl. Truly, feasts only fit for the queen. We held her day and night and ate with her and sang with her. And we carried her up to the rafters and through the ceiling and up into the firmament. It was just an honor to be there, yet alone play a small role in priestessing that. But wait, stay with me, okay, love? In the middle of the most intense days of ritual, while she was still with us, each one of us got something to inherit. She said it was only a little something, but each person got something that was going to be specifically meaningful for them. They were all packaged, wrapped up in silk scarves and heavy twine so that they would stay wrapped up. Do you remember those gorgeous scarves he would wear when he was in treatment? Some seemed like they were like ceramic pieces. Some things were from her altar, I'm pretty sure. Mine was this medium-sized but heavy thing, like a coffee table book. I was honored that I even received anything because I arrived so last minute. Nothing was planned, but I was so involved in that kitchen moment that I didn't even open it, and I put it in my backpack and I totally forgot about it. So I just opened it. It's a pack of really old letters. Some of them look like they were written. Some of them are in Italian and some of them are from the Netherlands, India. Dutch, East, I don't know. Yeah? Okay, yeah, no, call me back. Talk soon. Kisses.
Carissima sorella mia, I am fine. Do not worry. It has only been a few days, or has it been months? It is so hard to say when time is so irrelevant to all that I am finding here.
Dear brother, I am pleased with your interest in the movement. I believe your question about the compatibility of religion and science is interesting, and although I think I have the answer you seek, it would be best explained in person. You see, I am a medical doctor, educated in the United States. I am now a Buddhist priest. Culture, as we know, is in a very real sense the maker of man, the agency through which he becomes humanized. It converts his instincts to instruments for the actualization of those purposes inherent in his structure. Such purposes are neither mystical nor incomprehensible. They unfold continuously before the species as it prepares for and accomplishes each successive breakthrough into further dimensions of existence. But culture, the maker of man, can also unmake him. It can, as it now threatens to do, unman him. At this point, culture, now designated society, abandons humanity. It assumes an independent existence, the character of which is the reverse of man's and opposed to his evolutionary interests. In an effort to maintain its stagnant self, it attempts to seal off and prevent the further development of human possibilities, thus writing finis to mankind's ever-expanding fate. It is more feasible to organize a center like ours because of the great dangers of doing so in a European culture. It is more feasible to organize a center like ours because of the great dangers of doing so in a European country. When I get to Singapore, I will try to get other of your works. I will answer any of your questions on the Homosexual World Organization, Han Temple Society, as I can. We are now organizing to print an international magazine for homosexuals with famous writers like André Gide. Should it please you, I will send you the private coordinates. There is a small fishing port near our island. We will send an unmarked boat 24 hours after your telegram from Singapore. We hire boats from the port of Batam, just across the Straits of Singapore. I pray that you understand why we do not share the precise location of our island home over written correspondence. Yours faithfully, J.S.
I want to tell you first that I am doing well. I am eating food that we find growing wild on the beaches here and in the lush green that the locals know how to prepare. Mysterious and tangy flavors that Mama would be totally confused by. My tongue has tasted flavors that I could never have possibly imagined. Flavors of salt and cream and large root vegetables that grow wild in the marshes and on the banks of rivers and deep in the jade jungle and in my heart as well. I must tell you, Kara, that which I would not have been able to reveal before. You see, I have always been a bit different from other men in my desires to be sweet with our uncles and to find ecstasy in the eyes, in the touch of other men. This has gone on for a long time, but with the pressure of Mama to find a woman to marry, I knew I had to come to this place in the Far East to find something, someone else, myself. It is hard for me to say this to you, but I know that I must. You are my best friend, Sorella, my twin. What I long for is to really be known by you. But first, I need to know myself and all the flavors of the male flesh. To express this desire, to share this touch on these white sand beaches in the open air, not in the darkness of secrecy and shame. Kara, I do not know when I am coming back, so please do not try to find me. I will not send you a return address. Here, Sorella, I can be the principessa that you always got to be. The men here want to eat of me, and I of them. In the emerald waters that crash over and under us as we dance, weightless in the water, as dolphins, not just one, groups of homosexuals. These desires that I have should not by any means shock you, dear. This is the liberation of our time and our age. I hope you find your freedom as I. Un abbraccio affettuoso. Michele.
Ay, cariño, ¿cómo describirte este paraíso? ¿Cómo poner en palabras la fantasía que te está esperando? Paso el tiempo mejorando mi inglés y aprendiendo a cocinar. Acá hacen las cosas muy diferentes, pero eso me entusiasma y veo un futuro para nosotros. Ojalá se pudiera adelantar tu llegada a H. No veo la hora de que eso pase. Alquilé un departamento en el puerto y voy a ir al muelle a recibirte en persona. No me vas a reconocer cuando me veas. No usamos tanta ropa en la isla. No tanta como en la marina mercante, al menos. Ya vas a ver de lo que te hablo. Ya falta poco.
Thank you.
Dear Doctor, I have not had the opportunity to write to you sooner because I was in Spain. Thank you for your correspondence. I was most interested to hear about the Order of Sahar and the Lodge of Athens. Do you know of any more of these clubs? Do the police trouble them? At the turn of the century, we organized ourselves here in the Gulf of Siam, as you call it. The Han Temple is also the homosexual world organization, and we received the ardent support of people from many countries in the world, and important people too. The temple is in touch with all the Asiatic centuries-old organizations of homosexuals like the Buddha Shakti sect of Siam, the High Rooms of Macau, the Moonflower Rooms of China, and the Sons of Mauna Loa of Hawaii, etc., and aims to study the experiences of these old organizations to show the world what homosexuality really is. We think there are too many misguided and unhappy homosexuals who should stop thinking of themselves as abnormal and of others as normal. There's no norm in sexuality. Whatever the sexual inclinations may be, there is little that anyone can say or do to change these inclinations. One is what one actually desires to be, and moralizing won't change that one single iota. Our aims must be to achieve revision of all legislation in accordance with a scientific judgment of sexual tendencies, and especially to free the homosexual from our personality complex, and to help us find a special way of life that may be the way of service for the new crusade against taboos, prejudice, and ignorance. Naturally for us, this means a return to our traditions, as well as an embrace of Western medicine and psychology. You may give my name and address to anybody who wants to be in touch with the HWO for scientific reasons, or because he himself is a homosexual and desires to be helped by the Muthu Foundation. Faithfully yours, J.S.
There is a path that leads from the rose-colored sand, straight back along the spine of our tiny patch of land. The sun, it stirs the forest each morning, moist with dews. Alone I descend from our clearing to beg the sea for your news. The intricate drama of the society we birth is empty of smiles, caresses, and mirth. And as night falls on another warm day, I breathe and I sigh, my companions so gay. My back is still strong and my chest upright as I turn my head to the descending night. A shrill, excited drums and a dance rhythm craze. I move to the fire and the spirit. She says, who could it be? I don't recognize her yet. He's made a queer peluca from a fishing net. The spirit says, cast your eyes above. The spirit says, I know the one you love. Kindle the light within. Let the dance begin.
Spirit looking high. End of your message, press 1.
Girl, how dare you screen my calls, Queen Diva? The things I put up with your ass. Are you coming out on Saturday? Oh my god, also, guess what? I think all the old letters are connected. I was up all night reading them. This shit is amazing. Okay, I can't wait to tell you. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Ciao.
Carissima sorella mia, my letter writing to you will end soon. It brings me pain to think about the way I once was, the way you know me to be, a scared, lonely homosexual living in fear and lies. Michele no longer exists. I realize in being here that Michele was someone that I was taught to be by the church, by Papa. The other homosexuals here call me Rung now. It means arcobaleno. When I choose to wear clothing, I now wear flowing robes of silk. My hair has grown long and is adorned with shells and beautiful findings from my lover, Rolf. My body is golden and smooth, rich with the oils of the fragrant plants that grow here. I have pierced my earlobes and adorned them with gems and beads. When I think to look in the mirror, I am surprised by this beautiful woman person looking back. Every night, as the sun is setting, Rolf and I sit hand in hand, watching the last rays dance over the waters, while the sounds of homosexuals grunting and drumming in the background. With Rolf, I can finally understand what it means to make love. It comes from the heart, the pancha, the loins. It comes from a real union, a real desire to be one. This, Kara, is a love I have never known before. I wonder if you know the love that I am talking. Ti voglio bene con tutto il mio cuore. I wait for you here in the freedom of ecstasy. Rung.
There was one letter that really stood out. Amiga, me emociono reading it. And then on the back, it was like finding one of Shakespeare's lost sonnets.
Drums and a dance, rhythm, grace. I move to the fire and the spirit. She says, he's who made it be
a queer peluca.
I don't from recognizing it yet. The spirit says, cast your eyes above. The spirit says, I know the one you love. Kindle the light within. Let the dance begin.
Desperado, sitting in a old Monte Carlo. A man inside his hollow. Take it easy. I'm not trying to go against you. Actually, I'm going with you. Gotta get up out of here, you and leave me, buddy. I know you won't, cause we share common interest. You need me there, ain't only leave me, buddy. Never know, no, just one out of here, yeah. Cause I'm gone, ain't no going back. If you want, we can be, you could run away, running from, and it's out of love. Yeah, yeah, there ain't nothing
I've said it before and I'll say it again. When we remember our historical grandparents, nostalgia can be an ally. Eros can be an ally too. Imagination and delight. But nostalgia can also blind us with a cloak of vain, ambrosial sentiment. Tonight's work is a testament to the triumphs, the experiments and trials of the queer ancestors who lived their lives in a way that paved the way for us, for our life stories to be that much richer. It's a healthy reminder to decenter Western narratives and timelines of queer liberation. To think twice about the way religious traditions are understood by some to be inherently anathema to healthy queer lives. Oh, it's not a sentence. A good reminder to think twice about the way religious traditions are understood by some to be inherently anathema to queer lives. In this case, they weren't.
Over the course of maybe decades, queer people from around the world gathered. Because so little is known, because privacy was policy, and perhaps because it was independent of Western European history of gay human rights, some are hesitant to accord the Han Temple World Homosexual Organization the title of the first queer separatist society and the first modern international organization of queer people. For the moment, it is still shrouded in the delicious night of mystery. In this new era of censorship, with the renewed puritanical fight against sexuality and porn online, the way the Han Temple organization survived by word of mouth alone, through letters carefully passed among trusted friends. This may be our main lesson tonight. Perhaps this is a parable we can use to shore up our resolve to delete our Facebook and Instagram accounts, to remember how our ancestors lived well in secret, out of sight. Because, as shrouded in mystery as the beginning of the island sanctuary is, so too is its end. How people left the temple, departed the island, we'll never know. Queens may very well still inhabit its paradisiac shores. Only those who received the letter of invitation may ever know for sure.
Only those who received the letter of invitation may ever know for sure. So this piece is about the Homosexual World Organization, a.k.a. the World Homosexual Organization, a.k.a. the Han Temple Organization. And I completely owe this story to the incredible researchers and friendly librarians at the Interference Archive in New York City. The Interference Archive is an amazing library and social center in Park Slope that archives social movements and activist organizations, mostly in New York, and it's awesome. You should check it out if you can. There's a lot of art, a lot of books, a lot of amazing archival materials. Thanks to a research trip last year I made to that organization. We really know so little about this group, but assuming that one of the sources, assuming one of the most credible sources, an Italian poet, assuming that his descriptions are accurate, the existence of this organization points to a larger global gay civil rights movement in the mid-20th century, and perhaps earlier than Western scholars have ever imagined, a network of activists, writers, lovers, priests, and doctors who lived off the coast of Indonesia and perhaps in other places, plotting this little wrinkle of queer separatist history long before the more mainstream groups began organizing in the West. For this piece, I have a lot of thank yous. Kai Brooks for contributing music again to one of my projects for Audio Smut. Thank you very much, Kai. You can check out their work with Lung Butter, the local band from Montreal. Thank yous to Solar Year. Thanks, David, for contributing a track called Global Girlfriend. Thanks to Che Arias in LA. Thanks so much, honey. To Summer, recording from the shores of Oaxaca. To Emmanuel Sticky from Argentina. Thanks, Emma. And to Rafael Lemon Chatelain, recording from Berlin.
And to my sweetheart, Sean, thank you so much again for lending your beautiful voice to this project in narration. Thanks to all that helped make this happen. This is it. This is my last show. How strange it is to look back at so many years making radio with so many amazing co-hosts, so many amazing guests. Some of my favorite memories include Esther, your incredible idea to open up the sext lines to our personal cell phones to read them on air, to open up the phone lines to scandalized commuters, because this is, after all, the supper hour smut show. And Vanessa, your piece on Arthur Evans just blowing my mind and completely expanding the idea of what erotic, geeky, research-based, queer sex radio can be. Just amazing times. So glad to have spent so many first Wednesdays with smut, with art, and with the strangers over the airwaves.
After almost 10 years, and it's with great pleasure that I leave the collective in the talented hands of its current members, year in and year out, interviewing incredible people for stories, writing my own, sharing smut, sharing queer desire. This has changed my life, and for those of you who are listening, you'll know how dear this practice is to me, and how the practice of listening, deeply listening, of reading, of lifting stories that may have collected a little bit of dust over the years, dusting them off, giving them a little spit and polish. Those who know me well will know how much I love that, and how much fun it's been over the years. I'm grateful to CKUT and community radio in general. I'm grateful for the audiences on Jokjage in Montreal for giving me the opportunity to share these stories, to share poetry, to interview my friends. It's with gratitude that I close my eyes and listen to the sound of my own voice, like I listen to the sound of the voices of so many people who've passed through the basement studio near the mountain. Some months it was a struggle to get content together. Some months it was just a breeze. So many months when, especially in the summers when people be traveling through Montreal, it'd be so easy to pack the studio full of interesting queers talking about their projects and reading stories and sharing music and talking about their new books. But something about the continuity of it all, just heading downtown on my bike, maybe just two of us in the studio that evening, the 6 o'clock supper hour smut show was a constant in my life. A beautiful piece of community that in this year of pandemic, of the plague year, it's caused me to do a lot of really good thinking. And while it's time for me to stretch my wings, I'll miss it. I have enjoyed it greatly. I have to tip my hat to Deb Van Slett, who was the host of CKUT's Dykes on Mics for years and years. This summer, unexpectedly, I was called to transport a cardboard box full of a lot of the physical recordings of the show, years of content. And we chatted about what it meant to move on from our shows at CKUT. And we shared a really beautiful, wistful moment as we thought about what it meant to host these shows, to volunteer so many hours, but also just to be able to create content, to listen to stories, to hit our friends up for an interesting opinion or thought. And how To me, it feels so quintessential of what makes Montreal the city that I'm so happy to call my home. Where the projects that people commit to and the collectives that people are part of fill our lives with such an interesting array of opinions, thoughts, and unsung stories. I'm grateful to you, Deb. I'm glad we were able to talk about what it means to leave our collectives after these years. This ritual of listening closely, not knowing who's going to tune in live or to our recordings. This ritual is so dear to my heart. Thank you for your listening. It's changed my life. Good night, Montreal. Thank you. Jamie Ross, out. I'm not afraid to
Maybe the society never left their island. Maybe they're out there tonight, writing letters by the firelight.
I went to residential school. I was just 8 years old.
Gayla Kasla, my name is Gennarji O'Sullivan of the Tlaweetsis Nation, originally from Turner Island. You're listening to Wendell exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools.
Jason Whitebear is one of our youngest panelists. He is a residential school survivor.
Gakia Waku Maganak, Nidi, Wendin Naganag. I said all my relations in three different languages. Those languages were taken away and given with this one here that I've mastered in residential school. And they told me that once you go there, he says, you're not going to come home with this anymore. You're not going to come home being able to speak Nehewiwen. You're not going to be able to speak. But when you do go, what I want you to do is I want you to try and master everything that they give you, so that they can never fool us anymore. In my generation, we're at the point now where we understand the nuances between the languages. We can say, bonjour, Anin. I wish I knew a little bit of Arab, but you know, the point being is that we're all sitting around here and we're very learned people. We're very knowledgeable. We know how to say, to say a little bit of each other's language nowadays, and that's just us as this language, as this, and I think that's a direct result of residential school, is because we always ask each other, where are you from? Well, how do you say this? How do you say that? So that when you run into somebody else, you're allowed to respect them and say, Tanse, how? Wujhu anin. So regardless of what was taken away from me during my residential school formative years, I haven't lost the ability to see. And so it is with this that I thank each and every one of you. I'd like to say, Ninanaskamun Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski, and that's Cree for I am grateful for everything in this land. I had to learn that from a Kukum, because I was speaking in front of chiefs one time and I said, I can't speak the language. So she taught me that little bit. Ninanaskamutuman Gakyogi Gwayotsiwa Taaski. Hi, hi. Thank you.
You have just heard It Window exploring the legacy of Indian residential schools. Both my mother and I attended St. Michael's Residential School in Alert Bay, BC. This is a part of a larger project called Resonating Reconciliation that engages community radio as a tool to help define what reconciliation is. Resonating Reconciliation is meant to help reconcile all Canadians to this shared history. This is the work of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the Red Jam Slam Society, and this station. Resonating Reconciliation is also supported by the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and is funded by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. To hear more, go to www.ncra.ca/resonating.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
We'll be right back.
ya ho bi da ya.
Welcome to Amanda, this edition provided by Taina Juicy from South Africa, from Mongo Bay Collective, and he has provided us with a broadcast of a panel carried out by the African Ecofeminist Collective at a special seminar in January to commemorate the assassination of Amilcar Cabral, the poet, revolutionary, and anti-colonial freedom fighter who was the leader of the African Party for the Independence of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, PAIGC. Today, Cabral is still regarded as one of the most radical theorists of colonialism, capitalism, as well as the possibilities of radical solidarities among all oppressed people of the world. The African Ecofeminist Collective itself operates at the intersections of ecological justice by using radical and African feminist traditions to critique power, challenge multinational capitalism and neoliberal models of transformation, and reimagine a more equitable world. So this seminar is part of that collective's effort and to commemorate the memory of Amilcar Cabral, held in Nairobi over the week around January 20th, commemorating the assassination in Conakry, Guinea, in 1973. Stay tuned. That is brought to the panel has been moderated by Parcelelo Kantai, and includes